Howdy, and welcome to episode 32 of Hello Fairview, your local podcast made right here in Fairview for the people in Fairview, Tennessee, and the surrounding areas. This is a weekly show recorded every Wednesday featuring stories that aim to inform and inspire. Local radio stations and newspapers don't exist in towns like ours, so we'll use Hello Fairview to fill that void for news related to Fairview. This is a value for value podcast, which means you contribute what you can based on the value you receive. This concept was founded by the podfather himself, Adam Curry, and his co-host John C. Dvorak of the No Agenda Show over 18 years ago. Currently, this is just a one man operation. So if you have any ideas or events, business opportunities or other things, don't hesitate to let us know. Use the contact form on the website and we'll work to get those updates in the next episode. You are a producer of the show. You are not the product because your time and attention are not being sold to advertisers for their value. Some shows will be longer, others will be shorter, but I'll always try to do my best to keep things relevant. Traffic time. Well, definitely still construction busy. You can wait anywhere from 5 to 20 minutes to make a left or right in the morning on Highway 100 between Old Cox and the rec center, and even on the other side of the rec center now with the construction there. The sidewalk project from Bowie Park to the rec center is on like Donkey Kong. The road closures have also been closer towards the rec center and the school. Right now, today, it was in front of Fairview Elementary as they're putting in those drainage ditches and doing some utility work. There's been a lot of backup lines, and this is affecting school pickups and drop-offs, especially pickups in the evening, because they're not done before 2:30 when everyone starts getting line. It's truly luck of the draw every time you go on Highway 100 if there's going to be a lane closure or backup every time, so good luck out there. Red lights, we still got five of those, Old Cox, Publix, Walmart, and then the two at I-40. We'll eventually be getting some at the city center entrance and the Cumberland and 100 intersections. Not sure how it's going to hurt or help, but it'll be there. City Center, they're still digging over there. They've got some of the pavement done. They've done a lot of grading. And so it's definitely the mountain of fill dirt in the back is getting a lot smaller. And there's also traffic counters heading to and away from the City Center for a traffic study, I'm guessing. We'll guess see some of that later. We're growing. Well, city news, the biggest news of all is that Bowie Park is back and open, and they have even posted. That's why I even waited for this show an extra day instead of just recording it on Wednesday, because I saw that it was going to be opening and I wanted to make sure and see the turnout. And there was actually a line of cars waiting to go in at that 10 o'clock time, which is great. It looked like the playground was bumping, which is what you want to see, people with their dogs and kids and walking. So grateful for everything to be back open. I know it was a long, long time and it was a lot of money, and I'm sure we're going to get deeper into that later. But for now, I'm very, very happy for what's going on. The next city news is overall, you know, we've got the July 4th celebration, which is on July 3rd, where we've got Rubric's Groove. We got School of Rock Nashville, Brian Ray, Colby Oakley for each one of those times. And it's going to be a great time. So we'll definitely get out there. Even if you just come before the shindig really gets deep and, you know, parking gets gridlocked and all that, at least go over there and help support our police and fire departments along with other small businesses that'll be there as a vendor. Go there and get some dinner. And when it comes to fireworks right now, I know that the Marine Corps League is doing some fireworks, and they'll be over where Farm Fresh Vintage used to be since that went out of business, or I guess changed the way they're doing things. And so that'll be there. And I'm not sure if the American Legion is doing it. They might be doing it too at their normal spot, which is across from like Fast Pace. We'll see. Homes for sale. Well, we sold 14 homes last week, so we went from 237 to 228. I know that doesn't add up to 14, but that's the way the two records kind of work. But basically, we had the most expensive house last week was $799,000. The cheapest thing was $225,000, and the average was 502, which is great because it kind of drives things down a little bit. But now we have almost made it to the 600 homes sold between December 30th of 2024 and April 6th through 10th of 2026, with the cheapest thing being 13 grand, the most expensive being, say, 7.8 million, and the average is still 680,000, going strong. Town meeting updates. Well, no meetings since the last show is the simple thing, but we have May 12th, we have our town hall. Tonight, we have the Board of Commissioners town hall on April 30th. Board of Commissioners' next one is May 7th and 21st. Parks and Landscape is May 4th. Around Town Coffee is May 13th, location TBD. So basically, you know, nothing's been going on. Tonight will be interesting to see what's going to come on the Board of Commissioners Town Hall and public comments. So we'll cover that on next week's show. The state of Tennessee. Well, I couldn't not, even though it's not in the state of Tennessee, but I think it's important for us in our country, is the third attempted assassination attempt of President Trump. July 13th, 2024 in Butler, PA, September 15th, 2024 in Palm Beach, and now April 25th, 2026 in Washington, D.C. At the Correspondents' Dinner, crazy times, you know, not Tennessee news, but very relevant, and it affects us when there's this type of political violence kind of anywhere. We just, you know, got to call it out there. Tennessee's Disaster Response Fund will receive less than half of the $100 million one-time investment proposed by Governor Bill Lee after the state of lawmakers scaled back the program funding to the budget for 2027. What does that mean for Fairview? What we think we may be getting back from TEMA, which is supposed to be 12.5% of this, you know, basically $2 million and some change, we might not get 12.5%. We might get half of that. So we might get 6.25%. If they got 50% of the funding, depending on how it's allocated. So I hope that we're paying attention to that as a city so that we're on the first of the list for that team of money to try to get some of this to recoup our cash funds and tree bank and all the other things that kind of go into there. Tennessee's Stand Your Ground law is upgraded from persons and properties. And basically, this supporters argue that the bill empowers law-abiding citizens to protect their property, while critics fear it will lead to unnecessary escalation of violence. If signed, Tennessee would join the Texas as the only other state to explicitly permit the use of lethal force in defense of property. This is State Bill 1847, which has passed both chambers and the General Assembly, so it should be on the way to get signed. And I wouldn't think something like that would get vetoed. The Fairgrounds racetrack is up for grabs again, with the Restore the Fairgrounds Coalition having refiled an amendment petition to ban racing from the Nashville Fairgrounds Super Speedway and add affordable housing. When we see soft words like this, you know, they're not very honest with what their goals, you know, and it doesn't really feel good the way that they word it. This reminds me of the Virginia Amendment for Redistricting, which was worded, should the Constitution of Virginia be amended to allow the General Assembly to temporarily adopt a new congressional district to restore fairness. Restore fairness is the key word in the upcoming elections, while ensuring Virginia's standard redistricting process resumes for all future redistricting after the 2030 census. So basically passing the buck down the road. And there's also been a Supreme Court thing that just came out of a SCOTUS ruling from yesterday that kind of messes that all up with a Louisiana lawsuit. So we'll see how all the dust settles there. And last, Tennessee's average daily attendance for school per student went from 13,465 to 12,147 between those years. It's a 9.8% decrease, which also placed Tennessee 51st among all of the largest one-year declines, which is right behind, you know, even the Washington, D.C. The state ranking slipped four spots from 47th last year. Tennessee is behind a lot of neighboring states. Even Mississippi and Alabama spend about $2,000 more per public school student per year, came in 45th and 43rd. So for us, with 900,000 students, $2,000 more is $1.8 billion in more funding. I don't know how you find that to magically even catch up to those states. That means that other things have to have big changes, and we have to change a lot of stuff. The Bills. Well, nothing is scheduled for next week or even the next week, but something is on the floor on the May 13th and May 14th, which is the Fiscal Review and State Building Commission. We've covered those before. Fiscal Review is a budget overview hearing of what's going on. State Building Commission always has project change orders for MTSU, this all getting done, this place, this building, this thing, that thing. And so we've got those linked in there. But the main thing is on May 27th, we've covered this last time, but I have it all in the show notes now, is the Certificate of Need hearing for the Ascension and TriStar facility that wants to come to Fairview. This is at 9 a.m. at the Cordell Legislative Building on 429 Rep. John Lewis Way, Northwest, and this is in Senate Hearing 1. This is very, very relevant to our neighborhood and what's going to happen and the changes that are going to happen from this. And so I think it's very, very important because when I look at these two documents, I want to spend more time, probably an hour or two, and have both of them up side by side, because basically each hospital system is talking about the other hospital system and why they need it more than the other. And there's metrics that both are referencing, but I don't think that they're the same numbers between the two documents. Each one of these documents is, I mean, I think like what, let's pull one up here. I'm just waiting. You know, yeah, 241 pages for the St. Thomas one, and for the TriStar one, it is, I think, basically the same. No, 338 pages of graphs and charts and metrics and extra spaces and maps and lines, and basically showing, like TriStar showing, I've got all these facilities around it, and Ascension saying I have all these facilities. So basically it's just a measuring contest that we're in right now. And we've seen more events publicly with TriStar and Ascension being throughout the towns with trivia nights and meetings and public hearings, and them at the farmers market here and there, and yeah, all over the place. So lots more to come on that. This show's not over yet. We'll see. How's the hill? Well, it's definitely passable. The chilly boomerang is back this week. This week's weather guessers are predicting highs from 66 to 80 and lows from 39. What in the world? To 60. No big rain forecast. We had some rain scares in our forecast and they kind of fizzled. We had some bad wind last week, but it wasn't too bad. New businesses. Well, nothing new was spotted. Jingo Java is still moved over by Uncle Lenny's. Vigilance Martial Arts is at Publix. Ace Hardware is getting a lot closer and they're hiring. You can even see the doors are on the front now, and you can also see that there's power ran in there and the lights. So it's really going to get going. There's still three properties for sale and three properties for rent. And there's a couple things getting, you know, signs, and you can see some more construction is getting ready to happen. And we should also see that Casey's gas station coming soon at the end of Old Cox eventually, based on that last, until they get their final plat approved, which will be good. Farmers Market, make sure you're checking out the Farmers Market every Saturday morning, 8 a.m. to 12 p.m. at Massett Chiropractic in Fairview, right beside Fairview Fresh Deli Donuts, located across the road from Publix. There's so many good places to get breads, treats, local beef, pork, honey, local fruits, vegetables, along with hot sauces, fishing lures, and other gifts kind of all the times of the year. It's very seasonal. And I also want to make sure and put a call out for the milk and yogurt. And if you are a fan of raw milk and fresh yogurt and natural stuff made right here, then definitely check that out. And the local business highlight, basically this time we've got Y Chart and Big Dog Realty Group. I probably definitely butchered that. But basically, you know, if you need a house, you need to buy or sell a house, you'll eventually need a realtor in that process. With some of the law changes that have happened, it's a little more confusing. So, you know, let them help you out. For me, I've always seen their signs at the sports fields, parades, and overall town support and doing things with around town coffee and everything. So they're big up there. So their little tagline here is listing your home. Does it always have to be stressful or overwhelming? You can count on great service with years of experience through each transaction. Contact me today and get your next steps of fulfilling your this rewarding experience. And we've got a listing of their thing because this used to be called Big Dog Group, which is at the corner of Old Cox, if you're looking for it, right beside Elevate Gymnastics and Cheer and across from Food Saver. Job openings. Well, we're still basically at around 46 from 46 last week. I didn't spot any new job openings. Ace Hardware obviously has some of their stuff listed. Some of the stuff looks like it may have already been filled because it's not on there anymore, but there's still some positions open. So definitely check that out. And without listing all 46 things, basically every building that you see around town has some kind of job opening, and then things you don't see, which is like Iron Lion Entries. Let's see, what's another one? Is Unity Chiropractic is still looking for somebody. That's coming up. Where is the Turner's Landscaping and USIC SPEG and a couple others that don't have a Catalino Management. There's definitely some things around for jobs. History nugget. Well, we're going to go 1775. The Transylvania Company of North Carolina bought a large tract of land from the Cherokee. Daniel Boone, who worked for the company, traced a path from Virginia passing through the Cumberland Gap and called this the Wilderness Road that became the principal road for all the new settlements as they headed into Tennessee in 1775. There was already people there, but stuff started happening a lot more. Our calendar is all up to date right now. As you can see, there used to be, just like a week ago, there used to be 5, 6, 7 things every single day between all the sports teams between middle school and high school. And it's starting to simmer down as championships and everything like that. And nothing else was new spotted on any other calendars. We still have the Bowie Park April calendar, which is done now. So that's all wrapped up. Now we do have official that now the May 2nd Arts and Crafts Fair at Bowie Park this weekend is on like Donkey Kong. So that's good. And then we'll see the movie night at Bowie Park May 16th. And we will go ahead and hopefully see our new Bowie Park schedule for May being published real soon. And we'll probably cover that next show. For the kids, well, there are still always tons of activities and sports in Fairview to keep your kids engaged. There are cheer programs, recreation teams for baseball, basketball, softball, football, and much more. There's a thriving Girl Scout and Scouting America program in Fairview. If you have a homeschooler, please make sure you're always checking out the Bowie Park schedule for the clubs that meet there, especially since it's open. And if you have kids that are interested in dance, gymnastics, or cheer, please check out Lala's Dance Studio and Elevate Gymnastics and Cheer. Vigilance of Martial Arts is our local taekwondo and jiu-jitsu school that teaches way more than just moves. The Fairview Youth Jacket Youth Wrestling Program is also something that has produced a lot of state champions, college scholarship recipients, and also offers some cool summer care options. The independent school has the Yay Camp from kindergarten to eighth graders, July 6th through 10th, to go get their improv and get a little theater action on. So it's cool. School news. Hey, everybody is just waiting for this May 21st date. Hawk and Tiger news. Nothing new there. Last week this week we had people popping for preschool. We had that all happen there. So that was good. Falcon news. No newsletter was sent, but TCAPing is going on and it's wrapped up. And now it's just getting ready for some of the finals, depending on which grade they are. So we got into that. The FMS awards are coming soon, so you'll know that. This weekend, May 1st, Friday, is the TCAP pajama party. So there's also some events. The art showcase is May 4th. May 4th readiness assessment and all kinds of stuff there. Summer orchestra camp is at Freedom Middle School, and that's June 22nd to 26th. And this is rising 7th through 9th graders, if you're interested in that. Jacket news, we got the newsletter this week, and the spring concert is tonight on the 30th at 6:30 p.m. We did not see this before. It was like a little mention, and now it actually had the thing, and it's Pirates of the Caribbean and Star Wars. Sports teams are definitely wrapping up for qualifying for state sectionals or subsectionals and any combination of that. The one note that was in there was the high school bass fishing team was represented by two teams out of 165 boats featuring high school anglers from across the nation. One boat, one of their boats got the five fish limit with 10.63 pounds and finished 71st. And the other boat got 10.35 pounds, just a little bit less. After they had a 0.25 dead fish penalty, which means it didn't make it back. And his final tournament was 10-10, which made 72nd place for that second bloat. But the winner was 23 pounds, and they had one bass that was just under 9 pounds. So it is cool. AP testing starts next week, so that's going to be going on. So you'll see some of that. Faith moment. Well, this week I was listening to the podcast, We Get to Do This, on the Godcaster app with Pastor Jimmy Pruitt from the Bridge Church in Fredericksburg, Texas, that you may have heard highlighted on the show before, and his co-host Adam Curry. This is them talking about everything on life and their faith and journey and kind of looking at things with a Christian point of view and asking questions and just really talking about everything, which is great. This week they highlighted a series from Glenn Peck's episode of the American Story show that I had not heard of until this week, but I'm now starting to go through it because there's only 10 episodes so far and it's such good history, relevant. It kind of, you know, we've talked about the Founders Bible. Think of this as the Glenn Beck audio version of that and going from there. So let's get into it.
He came out with something that I mean, he's spending money that he'll never get back on an audio series called, I think it's America, let me see where it is. I thought I had it written down here.
I think I'll have it because I can pull up from your text because I actually listened to part of it. Very cool, actually.
Yeah. It's the American Story is what it's
there
called.
It
the
is.
American
yep,
Story.
That's it.
And So this just popped into my Godcaster feed, and you can find these if you have the Godcaster app. If not, go to Godcaster.fm or go to the Bridge, and you know there's links to it. And it was this episode, the third episode, is about the Great Awakening. Now, did you hear any of that?
Yeah, I listened to about 15 minutes of it, and it was so good.
I just want to share some of that
with
people.
Yeah, fantastic.
Because it starts, I didn't realize this, it started right after the Salem witch trials. And he has this whole thing about the Salem witch trials.
That was cool.
How they happened, which was, you know, clearly, you know, just temporary insanity, basically. people went insane. But that is also the work, you know, confusion and stuff like that is the work of the enemy. And so he takes us through this journey. And what I love so much about it is he's doing theater of the mind. You know, he's doing sound effects and he's doing, you know, ambient and narration.
The girl screaming in the background, demon possessed or whatever.
Right. So I'm going to skip that
cool.
bit. I'll skip that
like,
bit.
Whoa.
But just listen to this is kind of where the change happened. And of course, this all came, you know, there's 3 million people, I think, in the colony. So it was pretty early days.
The Salem witch trials, while an extreme example, were symptomatic of churches sinking into decay. Puritans repeated the kind of oppression that they had fled England to escape. Their piety had turned rigid and cruel. By the early 1700s, a sense of decline gripped New England. Pastors lamented their congregations straying from their first love. Distracted by business, trade, and worldly woes, their hearts had grown cold. God, they said, had sent judgments as warnings, such as the devastating wars with the Native Americans and the disaster in Salem. The New England colonies, they were barely a century old, and they already needed a reboot. At the First Congregational Church in Northampton, Mass., embers began stirring. It was Pastor Solomon Stoddard. He urged his congregation to pray for God to do a new work in their community. As Stoddard put it, quote, "The Spirit of the Lord must be poured out upon the people." else religion will not revive. The sparks from those embers in the Northampton church would ignite something massive, a spiritual renewal that would spread from town to town and change America.
I love this so much. Yeah, I already unmuted you. Yeah. I love this so much.
Me too.
Because this
could happen. I can't wait to dive back in.
But this could happen here. This is my point. This happened in one church. One single church is where this started to take hold.
I know.
And
it's, you know, exciting.
It is. And are you familiar with this pastor, Stoddard? Are you familiar with
him? No. It makes me want to go look him up. You know, this is why I love things like this, because it's education.
Yeah.
It's not just theater of the mind for entertainment, although it is very entertaining.
It is entertaining. Yeah, it is.
I mean,
good.
Did you hear the drills? Did you know they had drills back then? I'm sorry. Yeah. Let's muted some of that.
Here's the second piece. This is where we get into it.
Revival erupted in Edwards' church. He kept a track of it in a book called A Faithful Narrative of the Surprising Work of God, which read like a firsthand account of a miracle. Listen to this excerpt, his words capturing the electric atmosphere.
The Spirit of God began extraordinarily to set in and wonderfully to work amongst us. There was scarcely a single person in the town, either old or young, that was left unconcerned about the great things of the eternal world. This work of God, as it was carried on and the number of true saints multiplied, soon made a glorious alteration in the town, so that in the spring and summer following, 1735, the town seemed to be full of the presence of God. It never was so full of love, nor so full of joy. There were remarkable tokens of God's presence in almost every house. It was a time of joy in families on the account of salvations being brought unto them. Parents rejoicing over their children as newborn, and husbands over their wives, and wives over their husbands. There were many instances of persons that came from abroad, on visits or on business, who partook of that shower of divine blessing that God rained down here, and went home rejoicing. Till at length the same work began to appear and prevail in several other towns in the country. In every place, God brought his saving blessings with him.
Edwards was floored, stunned by the scope of the revival. Nearly everyone in Northampton showed signs of conversion or deep soul searching. This revival didn't stay local. It marked the dawn of the Great Awakening, a movement of Christian conversion and rededication that swept through the colonies like a flood.
So, I know, right?
So good. Now, why'd you turn it off? No, I'm kidding.
We gotta get back to the show. After 2 minutes, it's like, so we gotta stop good. Somewhere. Listen,
man.
So get this on the Godcast, so you can just search for Glenn Beck podcast and listen to it in your car when you're driving.
Welcome back. Well, I hope you learned a little bit about the Edwards Church, the Salem Witch Trials, and the Great Awakening that kind of started right around then in the revival, which are all related. And I had never heard of the Edwards Church before. Obviously, I had heard about the Salem Witch Trials from movies and along with mentions from here and there, and how it was kind of just hysteria that went too far. We can definitely see a lot of parallels in our modern social media world and how hyper-focused we get on things and how some things can get over-amplified and then even turn into violence, which shows itself politically, but it also shows it at so many other groupings of people too. So please, you know, just pray on this hysteria to stop now, as it finally did back in Salem. And this also comes back to that assassination attempt of President Trump this month too. So please just pray on this and praying for our salvation. They talked about, you know, everything kind of coming from there. But then there was a good clip that they also had, which was praying in the salvation. They talked about a clip from Theo Vaughn and how he has been struggling and how he's trying to figure out how to pray and how to change his behavior and how he doesn't feel like he's doing it right and inauthentic, you know, and all the things that a lot of us struggle with in that faith. So let's get into that.
Thing really caught for him. And all of a sudden, he's out doing interviews talking about his faith.
Wow.
And I'm not one to spike the ball like, yeah, we got Theo Vaughn.
Right.
But this, just this one thing, talking about prayer, I just wanted to share this because this was so deep and so good. And he needs prayer from us. Listen to this.
You know, I've been struggling, man. The past like couple of years, I've had, you know, it's been a struggle. You know, sometimes I realized for myself, I would pray to God to help me get away from certain behaviors in my life. But at the same time that I was praying, there would be a part of me that knew I was probably going to do those things again. And there's a story called John 5, and it's about a guy who's at these pools. There's a sick man there, and he's been sick for a long time. And Jesus asks him, do you want to be healed? He asks him, do you want to be healed? And that's a crazy question because, you know, if I get healed, then I'm different. So that's just been something that I've been having to ask myself. It's like, yeah, do I want to be healed? Do I really want something different? And sometimes a lot of the answer is no, I don't. I want something different, but I don't want to. I don't know if I'm scared of it. I don't know what I am. I don't know if I don't want to do what it takes to get. I can't even tell what it is. It's hard for me. Some of this stuff's a little bit hard for me to say. I think I don't even know why, but I think I want a new story.
This hits home for me and for Tina too, because when we were in the process of being saved, we're like, but I don't really want to change. I don't want to be different. And that's just how you think at that moment. Well, you know, what am I going to be like, some crazy Bible thumper, or what is going to change? And so I feel him in this moment. I feel him. And for me, the answer is, yeah, you're going to change, but wow, is it going to be so good? This just seems like this is something that people are struggling with when it comes to their faith. And they, you know, like you would say, like, are you ready to step over that line? This is the stepping over the line bit, man. And I can feel him struggling with that.
Man, I love the fact that he just hung that out on his podcast, you know.
Welcome back. I hope that helped a bit. There's a lot more there, but there are some language and other topics that he gets into that aren't okay for this family show. But we're, you know, making it here. So please listen to the rest if you want to learn more. You know, we need to know that there are, you know, so many people in the public space who are now coming out about their faith, especially with this presidency and shortly before. And it's just great to see this. And this is just another example of someone who has battled addiction and had a rough road to get where they are, just like even kind of Jelly Roll, that situation. But it's also understanding that they know they're not perfect. We know we're not perfect, and that they still struggle just like we do. We're still normal in that sense. And it's just part of life. I hope this resonates with some of you who might be struggling with this same kind of thing. But I just wanted to, you know, bounce these two clips because I had heard them this week and it was the first time I heard them. And I thought, hey, we got to do this, you know, and we get to do this in that podcast and, you know, kind of open my eyes. And so make sure, you know, I wanted to listen to these also after I heard the clips to get the full context. And, you know, because we are never done learning. But lastly, I wanted to pull a piece from the King Charles speech at Congress on religion this week while he was in town, and how Christianity and how it's an anchor. So let's get at it here.
But he did say something that I just thought was super curious. And I want, and I have an opinion about what he was saying. I'd love to hear yours. Here we go.
And Mr. Speaker, for many here and for myself, the Christian faith is a firm anchor and daily inspiration that guides us, not only personally, but together as members of our community. Having devoted a large part of my life to interfaith relationships and
applause. Yeah, wait for it.
And greater understanding, it is that faith in the triumph of light over darkness, which I have found confirmed countless times. Through it, I am inspired by the profound respect that develops as people of different faiths grow in their understanding of each other. It is why, it is my hope, my prayer, that in these turbulent times, working together and with our international partners, we can stem the beating of plowshares into swords.
That's worthy of a clap.
Golf claps.
I am mindful that we are still in the season of Easter, the season that most strengthens my hope. It is why I believe with all my heart that the essence of our two nations is a generosity of spirit and a duty to foster compassion, to promote peace, to deepen mutual understanding, and to value all people of all faiths and of none.
Accentuated by some banging on the ceiling.
Right.
The interfaith relationships, that kind of confused me. Like, what is he talking about? Do you think, I mean, is it just in general about living together with other, with people who have other beliefs and other faiths or none? Or is he, you know, there was a lot of criticism about this particular piece of the speech in the UK because he's talked about living in the season of Easter, where he didn't say anything on Easter in the UK, but did congratulate everybody on Ramadan.
So, I didn't know that.
Yeah, there's a little bit of strife about that. What was your impression overall of this?
Well, I think in terms of what's happening in the UK,
yeah,
with, you know, Islam coming in full force.
Being brought in, drawn in full force.
Unreal, mm-hmm. You know, open borders, if ever there were. And so I think he's probably alluding to that.
But I
don't know that for sure, but mm-hmm. But that would be the most obvious thing because yeah, that's what he's doing. I think he's alluding to this crossing boundaries and whatnot and working together.
What do we take away?
You know, the first part of it, I was in on him. Yeah. I mean, faith is a firm anchor, inspiration that guides us both personally and, yeah. I was all
welcome back for the last time. I promise. I hope I thought this was a good one to see and listen to. This was even brought up by Trump a couple days later, or I guess the next day, that King Charles got the Democrats to stand, and Trump has not been able to do that in over 5 years of being in office. The Trump administration has put a lot more prayer publicly than any other administration I've ever seen in my adult life. And I think it's great. Is the administration perfect? No, far from it. But at least they're trying to do things that will be better, hopefully, for our kids and grandkids in the future, and being mindful of our founding principles, too. So I've got the links up there to the We Get to Do This podcast, the Godcaster app, the Theo Vaughn thing. And so there we go. And, you know, I hope that, you know, that you got a little bit more back from that and it helped someone. Donations on the donations front, nothing new. So we're still just chugging away, hoping for the best one day. Someone will eventually click on that donate link, and all those details are in the show notes. Make sure every time you're listening to this, there's also a blog accompanying every podcast that has all those show notes in it with all the details, the links, and all that. We've been going back in time and publishing some of those, but what we run into is there's like some character limits the way stuff is formatting, especially from the way the formatting is done on our BOC and Planning Commission meetings, where we just have hundreds of thousands of characters in that write-up. So we're going to keep chugging along. Thank you. If you found this podcast helpful, thank you. Please support the show with your time, talents, or treasure. If you have any ideas or suggestions, please share it with us. You are a producer of this show. You are spending your time listening to this show and learning some things, hopefully, about Fairview, Tennessee, your state, or faith. Share your talent and your skills by knowledge to help help the show and Fairview. Let us know. With Treasure, you're receiving this product for free without any paid advertisements. You're getting truly local news. And if that's worth something, please consider supporting us financially for the Value for Value system so that we can continue to do more. Follow us on social media and hellofairview.com because a lot of things are always coming. And I hope y'all all have a great day and a great weekend. Thank y'all.